Well, good morning once again to you. Today we will continue our in-depth look into the mysteries that Paul, the Apostle Paul, says that we, the body of Christ, are to be stewards of. If you're just joining us, the verse that lays that out, which we won't go there, but if you're just joining us, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, tells us about being stewards of the mysteries, plural. So that's been the theme of our recent series titled Knowing the Mystery, because the mystery is encompasses the whole thing of the individual mysteries. And thus far, we have looked at the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the church, and last week we began to look at the mystery of the blindness to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So that's where we are. Today we will complete. Remember I used that word, complete. We will complete our look at this mystery. So turn with me to Romans chapter 11, just to reread the verse. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. We talked about the first part of this verse. Here it talks about blindness and then the fullness of the Gentiles. Romans 11, 25. Paul again is addressing the issue of Israel. He's talking to Gentiles in the book of Romans here. But there's questions. What's going on with this nation of Israel and all the promises? So that's what he's dealing with here. Verse 25, he says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And so last week, I think we covered the blindness aspect in at least adequate detail, whether it was good detail or not, you can judge for yourself. But we certainly looked at it extensively. And this week, we will look at this fullness of the Gentiles. And I spoke briefly at the end of last week's message about what this is not a reference to, the times of the Gentiles. But we're going to look at this, what this fullness of the Gentiles is, because this mystery that Paul talks about here is this mystery of this partial blindness to the nation of Israel until this event of the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And this is, again, one of the mysteries that you, the body of Christ, are to be stewards of. And so we need to, as members of his body, take this seriously. It wouldn't be right for us to thank you, Lord, for our salvation. We'll see you whenever you get here, and then just walk away and live our own life. That's not the way it was designed to be. It was designed that we understand these things. And so again, this fullness of the Gentiles, there's really three things that I want us to cover this morning. This first one is that the fullness of the Gentiles is not the times of the Gentiles. And again, we talked a little bit about that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21, verse 24. The Lord mentions this times of the Gentiles. And many make the mistake and think that the fullness of the Gentiles is probably the same thing as the times of the Gentiles. Now, they do cross time paths, not fully, but partially. But they're not talking about the same thing. And so, Luke chapter 21, verse 24, the Lord here says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations." He's talking about the Jews. "And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." What the Lord is describing here in Luke chapter 21 are the events that unfold in Jerusalem. They're going to unfold in Jerusalem because of God's judgment. Okay? It's because of God's judgment. And it takes place during this Gentile dominance over the land of Israel, over Jerusalem in particular, but over the land of Israel, the entire land. And so what you need to understand here is this is a reference to what was going on then and what's going to go on all the way through the tribulation period. In Matthew chapter 24 through chapter 27, I mentioned in Sunday school, parallel verses in different books, especially in the Gospels. You see the Lord Jesus preparing the nation of Israel for the coming judgment and the coming tribulation period. And you can go and study chapters of Matthew's chapter 24 through 27. And what you see there is that this times the Gentiles won't be fulfilled, and we'll talk about this more later, won't be fulfilled until after the tribulation period. But this here that the Lord, this times the Gentiles that the Lord is referring to here, he's talking about future events. But keep in mind, even though that's a future event, the Gentile domination over the land of Israel was already in existence at that time. And obviously that was the case, because who was in charge of Israel? Was it the Jews?
No,
it was Rome. Which is why they ended up having a rebellion, which they lost. So it's a future event, this, that the Lord is dealing with, but this times of the Gentiles was going on at the time. And guess what? It's still going on today. This today is still the times of the Gentiles. Some mistakenly believe that in 1948 and 1967, that the state of Israel, 1948 is when the state of Israel declared itself, and in 1967, during the Six Days War, is whenever they reclaimed some of the land. Some mistakenly believe that that changed the times of the Gentiles, that the times of the Gentiles ended. But that's not the case. What you need to understand is that there's specific events in Scripture that tell us when the times of the Gentiles come to an end. And again, studying Matthew chapter 24, which I'll mention more in a minute, helps us to understand that. But no, 1948 and 1967 did not signify the end of the times of the Gentiles. And there's a few reasons why we know that. The Bible is very clear, again, the parallel verses in Matthew 24, that it will end, if you follow the timeline, the times of the Gentiles doesn't end with Israel signing a peace agreement with Great Britain or with NATO. That's not how the times of the Gentiles come to an end. That's how 1948 came to be with I said NATO, but not NATO, but the UN, United Nations. That's going to end the actual times of Gentiles, according to Matthew 24 through chapter 24 to 27. It's going to end when the Lord Jesus comes to put an end to it. Whenever he physically comes to put an end of Gentile domination over the land of Israel. That's when the times of the Gentiles end. So it was going on in the Lord's day. It's going on today. It's whenever he himself reclaims, whenever he takes back and gives back to Israel the land which he had already promised, starting with Abraham. If you come to our midweek Bible study, we were just talking about this, the promises, the covenant that God began to make with, starting with Abraham. And he outlines all of the lands that he gives. Guess what they don't have today? They don't have all that land. The Lord himself is going to come at the end of this tribulation period, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and it's then when the Lord is going to reclaim that land. Israel does not today have the land, and again, I get this asked as much as any question I get, is what about the fact that Israel in 1948 and 1967? And I'm telling you, people, that's not it. Gentiles to this very day control much of the land that God gave the nation of Israel. If you go look at a map that God gave to the nation of Israel as an everlasting possession, right now, in where the lands which Gad and Reuben and Manasseh were given, that land that was given to them, the 12 tribes and before, that extends into Jordan, east of Israel today, but into Jordan, and north into Syria. And so the promised land in which was promised, keep in mind, God promised this is your everlasting possession. Israel does not have that today. Because the land that belongs to them extends into modern-day Jordan and extends north into modern-day Syria. And they do not control it. And the simple fact of the matter is even the land that's within their so-called borders, they themselves still do not control it. They do not control the events that go on in Temple Mount. Now, to some degree they do, but in reality, if they truly controlled it, do you think they might tear down the Mosque of Omar and rebuild the temple? Now, I don't believe that's where the temple was, but the fact of the matter is that's where they suggest it was. But they won't do it. Why? Because what would happen if they did?
A huge terrorist Muslim uprising.
Well, there would be a huge problem. You know, there's been a lot of news lately. The President Trump recently moved the
embassy,
thank you, to Jerusalem. Make sure you sit close for all things like that. He moved the embassy. And now other countries are doing it. You ever wonder why nobody did until now? Nobody would do it. Nobody would allow Jerusalem or Israel to determine where their own capital was. Does that sound like Israel had control in 1948 or 1967? No. They most certainly did not. Do they have it now? They certainly do not either. And so the question then is if the times of the Gentiles not the same thing as the fullness of the Gentiles, when did this time of the Gentiles begin? Is the question. When did the Gentile domination over the land of Israel begin? Did it just recently begin? Obviously not. Did it begin in 70 AD? Let me give you a hint. No. For about 600 years prior to that, guess who dominated the land of Israel? Gentiles. Beginning in 586 BC, God judged and exiled the nation of Israel and Judah into what's called the Babylonian captivity. I'm sure you're familiar with that. And so, even though they were only exiled for 70 years and they were allowed to come back, did they then begin to have control over their land? Did they receive back all of their land? No. Their control, their land, remained in the hands of Babylon. Never again, even to this day, have they controlled all of their lands. Babylonians in 586. Then you had the Persians. Then you had the Hellenistic period with Alexander the Great, who conquered the land. And you had the Hasmoneans, and you had the Romans, and the Byzantines, and the Muslims, and the Crusaders, and the Ottomans, and then eventually you had Britain. And then in 1948 is whenever Britain, along with the United Nations, hands Israel back over. But from the Babylonian captivity all the way on to even now has been the time of the Gentiles. Israel was judged and exiled out of the land. And God says through the prophets that he will restore the land to them once again. Again, when does that happen? Does that happen with Israel signing a peace accord? No. Because we see that's going to happen again in the future with the Antichrist. None of these things, or none of these times that we mentioned, has Israel had they're complete, and I use that word complete again. They've not had the complete land or control of it. And the Bible says that that will be the Lord's doing. That he will come. That he will return. That he will come and set up his kingdom. He will conquer Israel's enemies, and he will return the land to them. And until that time, I don't care what you see happens between now and the time we're raptured. Because if you're a believer, you won't be here during the tribulation period. But I don't care what happens between now and then, the fact of the matter is the times of the Gentiles is going on with Israel. So, go back to Romans with me, 11. If the times of the Gentiles is not the same as the fullness of the Gentiles, what then is the fullness of the Gentiles that Paul is speaking of? Go back to Romans 11. Romans 11. Let's read that again. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until," that's an interesting and informative word, "the fullness of the Gentiles become in." But notice verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written," very informative four words there, "there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Paul reminds everyone, yourselves too, because as we talked about in Sunday school, who's the book of Romans written to? Well, the body of Christ. You were late. You would have known that. But to the body of Christ. Yes, it's written to Rome, but written to the body of Christ. He's telling us all, and he's certainly telling Rome, the people he's writing this letter to, that Israel shall be saved as written. Well, what was written down on how Israel shall be saved? Was it maybe the coming of the deliverer, the one who's going to set up his kingdom, the one who's going to save Israel from their enemies? Is that how it was described and how it was written? Yeah. What's interesting is, did you know that in this very chapter that Paul describes Israel's salvation, he describes Israel's fullness? So as we consider our fullness, the fullness of the Gentiles, in the same chapter in which he's detailing Israel's salvation, he describes Israel's fullness. Look up at verse 12. The same verse, or same word that he uses in verse 25 about the Gentiles, he uses in verse 12 about Israel. Romans 11:12. "Now if the fall of them," this is Israel, "be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, their riches," the riches of the Gentiles, "how much more their fullness?" Talking about Israel. And so I guess the question at this point we probably ought to ask ourselves is what is Israel's fullness? Because it's probably going to help us understand or give us a clue about how we can figure out the fullness of the Gentiles. You think it's a coincidence that Paul talks about the fullness of Israel and then talks about the fullness of Gentiles? I don't think so. What is, when is Israel's salvation? Their fullness. When is that? What is that? The long-awaited, as Paul mentions in verse 25, written promise of God of the kingdom set up in Jerusalem. That's their fullness. That's their hope. Their hope, if you go back to Acts chapter 1, is the Lord is taking the 12 disciples or the apostles with him, and before he ascends up to the heavens, what is the question that's on the mind of Peter and the 12? When will you restore? Are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What is Israel's hope? What is their salvation? What is their completeness? What is that thing that's been written about ever since David? It was that the Messiah was going to come and establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. What is the fullness of Israel? It's their completeness. It's their completion. It's whenever they realize that thing that they hope for. That's their fullness. Look at Romans 15 with me for more on the idea of fullness, what the Bible is describing as fullness. Romans chapter 15, verse 29. Romans 15:29. And I am sure this is Paul talking. Because keep in mind, when Paul writes Romans, he hadn't been to Rome yet. And he says, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the what? Fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. In other words, can you replace that word fullness with completeness there? Yeah. I'm sure that I'm going to come with the complete blessing of the gospel of Christ. It's not the only time we can see that. Look at Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. If you take notes in your Bible, I would write these in them. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Talking about when Jesus came to be born. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So in other words, when time had reached its completeness in all things that had been needed to accomplish prior to Christ coming to the earth, when that time was complete, that is when the Son came. Look at Colossians with me, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. And I think you can see it quite a bit here in Colossians 1 and chapter 2 as well. Colossians 1, 19, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him, talking about Christ, should all the what? Fullness should dwell. In Christ is 100% of the complete deity and Godhead. It has to do with completion, people. Look over to chapter 2, verse 9. It proves what I was just saying. Talking about Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ is completely filled the Godhead in him. And so when we understand the word fullness, and we can see how Paul uses, how God uses to describe the fullness of Israel being whenever they've completed and they've reached that hope and they've got to that point of completion, it gives us a clue as to what our situation is. If fullness means complete, and Israel's fullness is the receiving that which is their hope, which is the kingdom, then seeing that we are not Israel, because we agree we're not Israel, what about us? What is the fullness of the body of Christ? Well, if you said to yourself, the rapture, you would be correct. That is your fullness. Blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become men. Why? What event takes place to us, the body of Christ? Just like Israel's looking for that blessed hope, their kingdom, what is it that you're looking for? Titus tells us, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Excuse me. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. You want to know the hope of the body of Christ? You want to know what is the fullness of the Gentiles? You want to know what that is? Look at Titus chapter 2. Let's start in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But Paul later also calls is his present evil. Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. Well, is that blessed hope the kingdom for you? No. That glorious appearing of that great God in our Savior Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, maybe it is the king. It doesn't say here the rapture. Well, what does Paul tell us to be looking for? Is it for Jesus Christ to come and to save us from the tribulation period, and to establish his kingdom? Is that what he tells the body of Christ to be looking for? No. What does he tell us to be looking for? Our fullness, our hope, is not in the coming of an established kingdom here on earth, but to take us from this earth to heaven. That's our hope. Look at with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Start at verse 16. Israel's hope is an earthly hope. Our hope is a heavenly hope. And here we can see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. We go up. When the second coming of the Lord, he comes down. And they don't go up. The kingdom is established on earth. But here, the rapture, our fullness, is for us to be caught up. That we shall be caught up with him. Excuse me. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and then so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look at Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 20. I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verse 20. You see, Israel has an earthly hope. So their fullness comes whenever that event is realized. You have a heavenly hope. This is why Paul talks about here. Look at verse 20. Depending on your version of the Bible, I use the King James. It says, for our conversation, which means citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. Today, your citizenship is not an earthly one. Your citizenship is a heavenly one. Amen. Why? Because where are you going to go when you realize your hope? To heaven. That's where your hope is. This is what Paul is teaching. This is what Paul is teaching the body of Christ, that is their fullness, their completeness. For our conversation is heaven, from whence also we what? Look for the Savior. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So we today are living in this present evil world. And we look, according to Titus chapter 2, we are looking for that blessed hope, which is an event that's going to change our vile body into a glorious body and take us into heaven. When does this happen? When does he change our body? Well, it's at his coming for the body of Christ. That's when it happens. You want to know, Lord, I'm tired of this body. Well, guess what? We believe the rapture is imminent. Not that it's going to happen tomorrow, but it can happen tomorrow. So you can get your brand new body tomorrow. I don't know if you're excited about it. I know I am. Now, keep in mind how uniform the scriptures are. None of what we just talked about does the prophets tell Israel. None of that does the prophets tell Israel. None of that does Peter talk about in 1 and 2 Peter. Does James talk about? Does John talk about? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talk about. Why? Because Israel has a different hope. You have a heavenly hope. They have an earthly hope. It has to do with the promises of the kingdom for them. And in 1 Corinthians, which we won't go there, in that first letter to the Corinthians, Paul says that when this happens, that in the twinkling of an eye, when corruption puts on what? Incorruption. That your body is going to be fashioned like his. When does all that happen? At the rapture. At the rapture, at the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortality is going to put on immortality. You, in order to go to heaven, you can't go there in this body. You have to be given a body fashioned after the Lord Jesus Christ. Your hope is in Jesus Christ's coming. Israel's hope is in Jesus Christ's coming. Israel's has to do with the establishment of the kingdom. Yours has to do with him taking you up. So what is this mystery that we're supposed to be ministers of? That blindness in part has happened unto Israel until that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is going to take you and he's going to catch you up out of here and give you that realization of that hope that you've been promised. But the fact of the matter is, until then, until that day, until we realize that hope, we have to endure, just as 2 Timothy 2 says, that we have to endure. And it says that according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says we labor and we suffer reproach. This is what Paul says, that we labor and we suffer reproach. It says that we have to endure. Paul talks about this present evil world. This is what we have to do, church. Looking forward to that glorious hope. Enduring the sufferings. When your friends and families who aren't believers mock you and ridicule you. When you see what's going on in the world, on the news, and you wonder why is it, oh why, that evil continues to persist. Well, the Bible has told you why. We endure and we suffer in this present evil world. And when you begin to think that it's too much for you to bear, now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. When you begin to wonder, this is more than I can bear. This is more than I can deal with. I cannot stand what's going on, Lord. Please come and put an end to this before I do something about it myself. Romans chapter 8, we have these words from the Apostle Paul starting in verse 16. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. And if this next part of this verse doesn't get you excited, I don't know that anybody should or anything should. That we are the children of God. That's not humankind's right. It's not something that God owes mankind to be called the children of God. Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. When are you going to suffer with him? You weren't on the cross with him, were you? No. But we suffer through this present evil world, this present evil time. We are going to suffer that we may also be glorified together. In this next verse, some say it proves that Paul was a southerner. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Next time that you turn on Fox News or your local television and you get down, the next time that somebody makes it hard for you, keep in mind that this is Satan's world right now. He's the God of this world. You can't expect goodness to thrive. And it certainly isn't going to thrive as long as we're not using this to dictate the hearts and actions of mankind. And so the next time you get downtrodden, the next time you get upset, do the same thing the Apostle Paul did. He reckons that this suffering is not even anything to worry about compared to the glory that's going to come. And when is that realized for you, church? According to Romans chapter 11, this mystery, one of these mysteries that you need to be a steward of, it's whenever the fullness of this time period comes in, when you realize your hope. And the only way that you're going to get that, the only way that you're going to be a part of that hope, the only way that you're going to be able to look forward to that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I can tell you, if you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be looking forward to him coming. Because if you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I can assure you, it won't be a pleasant day for you whenever he comes. But if you want to be declared a child of God, if you want the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to testify with your spirit that you are a child of God, then all you must do is believe the gospel. Do you believe that Christ died, was buried, and that he rose again for your justification? And if you believe that, then you have the same hope as the rest of us. That we have one hope. We are one body, looking for his appearing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word. I thank you for not only the fact that you saved us with the gospel, but that you've also commissioned us to share this gospel and to be ministers one of another with those lost and dying world. And I pray for us, not only as just this local assembly, but also the complete church, the body of Christ, no matter where they are, no matter what city, what state, what country. Father, help us to be ministers of your word, to be ministers and stewards of these mysteries. And Father, I pray that if anybody here or who is listening, or who will listen, hasn't put their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, I pray that they would understand that now is the time of salvation, that we are not promised tomorrow. And Father, we be quick to give you the glory and the honor. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.